Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Joining us this morning is our good friend from the NFL on Fox. He called the Packers' win over the Falcons last week, Charles Davis. Charles, how are you, my friend? Good morning.
Good morning to you, DA. I'm doing well. Trust you are, and happy holiday season to you, yours, and everyone that can hear our voices.
Back at you, my man. Let me ask you, did you feel as though some type of pressure was relieved from the Packers last week, seeing how they played under Joe Philbin?
Short term, definitely. They needed an exhale. You know, that kind of a week is not a good week for anyone. I don't care how you cut it. For all those in the camp of Aaron Rodgers, couldn't wait to get rid of Mike McCarthy. He must be ecstatic. They're not in playoffs yet. And that's all that guy cares about, okay? I mean, he's a cold-blooded assassin. And I say it in the most positive sense. He wants to win football games. For the organization, you know, the difficult decision to fire a guy who's won a Super Bowl and perennially has you in the playoffs and in the hunt, very difficult for them. Very difficult, obviously, for Mike McCarthy and his family more than anyone. But Mike asked to come back and talk to not just the team but his staff, and he did that on Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. He asked Joe Philbin. He asked Brian Gutekunst, the general manager. They granted him permission. He's able to talk to the staff Tuesday, the team Wednesday. So I think closure happened for both, for whatever way we use that word, closure. And then they went out and played and got a chance to exhale. But let's be honest about it, DA. You're not in the playoffs. It's been a disappointing season. As Aaron Rodgers said, as a team, we have underachieved. So obviously they didn't help Mike McCarthy. And everyone, of course, is a little bit jangled now because what's our future? Because no one knows who's going to be the new head coach. And that's when a lot of decisions get made.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting week, not only for the Packers in general, but Aaron Rodgers, because so many people point at Rodgers as having problems, beef with McCarthy, wanted him fired, didn't do enough to defend him. And then here is Aaron Rodgers, I think, trying to tamp down that idea and maybe sometimes going a little overboard with suggesting how close they were. You were around it that week. Was it an awkward week in a dynamic of who was to blame, including future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers?
You know, it's funny, D.A., I think all that happened earlier in the week because, you know, we get there on Friday, you know, and the firing happened on previous Sunday. And I told my crew, I said, my own opinion is it'll be probably halfway okay by the time we get there, meaning everyone's had a chance to work through, process a little bit, obviously not 100%. I mean, it doesn't just happen right away. But you know what you also get a chance to do, don't you, D.A.? You get a chance to formulate your responses. You know, what am I going to say? It's not in the moment anymore. It's not, oh, what just happened? You know what I mean? You got a chance to sit back and think about it. And I think the coaches were pretty honest about it. Remember, Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, and Joe Philbin, offense coordinator, who took over as interim head coach, both of them have been head coaches in the league and both have been fired. So they both understand what that feels like. They know what that process is. And as Mike Pettine said, your routine gets you through the week. It's those quiet moments when you realize that your guy's not there anymore, and that's when you have to work through some things. For Aaron Rodgers, look, he said what he said his piece. He said what he had to say on it. Everyone can have their views and so on. My own personal take, without this, these are not his words, it's just my own personal take, is that he does respect Mike McCarthy. he does appreciate what they did and the games that they won and the Super Bowl that they won in development. But at a certain point, sometimes it just doesn't work anymore. I think, you know, through that time, there's always that dynamic tension about butting heads about which way to do things. But you come to an agreement and you move forward. It almost felt like maybe they just couldn't come to an agreement anymore. Mm. Does that make sense, D.A.? That
yeah.
Maybe it's just, you know, guess what? And you've been around Aaron Rodgers. If for people who haven't been around him, you're talking about a monster IQ, let alone monster football IQ. So I've likened it to a tennis match. If you're a head coach, typically you're used to being a big server, right? You serve it and you get a lot of aces because what the coach says goes, right? Aaron Rodgers is going to volley everything back. He's the greatest returner. He's Michael Chang, man. That ball comes back at you every time, and you'd better have some responses formulated and ready to go because he has to be challenged and stimulated intellectually about this game the same way he is physically. And I'm not saying that he wasn't at the end, but I do believe that maybe they just couldn't agree on how to run the offense and what they should be doing the way they had in the past. Happened to Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Andy repotted himself in Kansas City. It's working pretty well. I think that'll work pretty well for Mike McCarthy somewhere else. And we'll see how it goes for Green Bay going forward. But they still have Aaron, so that's a great starting block.
It's a great read by you. Charles Davis joining us this morning for the NFL on Fox. We see John DeFilippo get fired yesterday. A lot of blame coming down on Kirk Cousins' shoulders right now. You're usually fair-minded about these things.
Yeah.
Do you feel as though there's too much blame falling at the feet of Cousins?
I do in a lot of ways because when the season started, and I don't have anything in front of me empirically, DA, but I did have the Vikings the first two games of the season. And you know what their biggest issue was going into the season that was probably underplayed was their offensive line. I don't know that that's ever truly gotten fixed this year. Okay? Pat Elflein was supposed to start at center. He was hurt in the preseason. He didn't play the first couple of games, right? Mike Remmers, who struggled in the Super Bowl with Carolina with Von Miller. Now, is that really a crime? No, because everyone struggles with Von Miller. But it was acute that day, wasn't it? Just ran around him the entire day. Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? They played him in both places. Okay? Is Riley Reiff truly your left tackle? They've gotten away with it, but is he truly the left tackle you're looking for? Another question they have to answer. And right on down the line. So when you look at it, it started there, and that problem's never gotten fixed. I know Mike Zimmer keeps harping, I want to run the ball. Atlanta wants to run the ball. I had them last week. They're determined to run the ball. They can't run the ball because that whole line is not very good. Like if I'm in Atlanta, and I'm sitting there right now, if I go into next year, I have two guys that I think I'm counting on. I know I'm counting on Alex Mack, my center, and left tackle Jake Matthews. The other three spots are up for grabs. I think in Minnesota, you have a similar situation that's really been underplayed because Kirk Cousins signed for a whole lot of money. Now, am I absolving him totally? You know me pretty well, D.A. The answer is no. He's got to play better, and he's operated behind probably worse lines at times in Washington. So he understands how to do that. You get paid that money, it's going to be magnified, there's going to be an extra spotlight, you have to make the throws, you have to make the plays. I think John DeFilippo took the fall because Minnesota wants to prove that they're trying their best to make the playoffs this year and be the team they expect it to be. I don't know necessarily that, I'm just going to say it, I don't believe for one second that John DeFilippo has been the major problem there. He's trying to call a game to move the ball, and what he never came out and said is, it's line has trouble moving people. It's hard to run the ball when your number one runner's in and out of the lineup in Dalvin Cook.
All problems for the Minnesota Vikings, and now we see how it works without DeFilippo. Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox joins us this morning on the show. You've got Cowboys and Colts coming up on Sunday, and for the Indianapolis Colts, you know what? I think they've knocked out a lot of expectations. I think they've been better and superseded a lot of people's expectations. But the Cowboys right now look like the best team in the NFC East by far, and so much of that is Amari Cooper. What are the Cowboys able to do with Cooper that the Raiders were not?
I think that a couple of things. Number one, he's happier there, and that just tells me a little bit about what he probably perceived his environment in Oakland. Last couple of years have been fun years. So he's happier in Dallas. You walk into a place where you're being hugged up like crazy, as opposed to a place that said, hey, we're going to send you on down the road, which tells you there was something going on before. And he's got a quarterback that desperately needed him. Now, you needed that guy out wide who could make some plays, who could take some pressure off of other people. So you've seen the benefits for everyone else, right? You've seen Zeke Elliott able to run the ball more effectively. It's taken some of that pressure off the offensive line. And not only is he drawing eyeballs out wide, he's still making plays. I mean, Thanksgiving Day, 180 yards with some big plays downfield. This past week, 217, three touchdowns with some big plays downfield. There's just sometimes it's just a being in a different spot in a place where people are hugging you up can change a whole lot of things for you that he already possessed to come forward. And we're seeing that. So when you're watching it, look, I'm not going to change history to DA. When they made that trade, I was on record saying, I don't know about trading a one. Okay? I mean, I'm not going to
I said the same thing. I said, this is crazy.
I think a one for Amari Cooper right now, whose numbers have been trending downward, I don't know that that's a great thing. I mean, you know, and plus with the Cowboys' history of doing that, Roy Williams, anyone? You know?
Yeah.
This big trade, Joey Galloway? You know, I just don't think this is a good idea. Well, guess what? I'm tipping my cap to Jerry Jones at this moment because it is working quite well. He's not only allowing other guys to flourish, he's flourishing himself. And that's when you know you're a true number one, right? Because number ones are going to draw the extra attention, yet they still make plays. That's why Antonio Brown's a one, right? That's why Julio Jones is a one. Because you're still going to get the extra coverage, yet you still make plays. Amari Cooper's doing that right now.
I know. I said the same thing. I said a number one draft pick for a guy that hasn't caught 1,000 balls, 1,000 yards with the balls in 3 years? What are you doing?
That's what I thought. I'm not going to lie about it. And I hear a lot of people now going, oh, what a great trade. And I'm like, I know exactly what you said. So let's not fool ourselves. It's usually not a good recipe. In this case for Dallas, it has been the absolute kickstart they needed. It's rescued not just a season. It's rescued jobs.
Totally.
So Jason Garrett was in that spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, my colleague Troy Aikman, and here's the kicker to the whole thing. Troy talked about them having to kind of blow things up and kind of reboot, didn't he?
Absolutely.
Now, I'm paraphrasing, right?
Yeah.
But he did say that about the time Cooper, you know, was it like 1 week after the Cooper trade? And since that time, they have just taken off, haven't they? I don't think that Troy was wrong. See, that's the whole thing. His formula about it was, but this is the best perfume deodorant, whatever term you want to use, and it is working. So right now, all that is off the table. Because right now all you want to do is ride this wave, and they are a team right now that you probably don't want to get ready to play because that running the ball can travel in any place, in any temperature, in any climate, and Zeke Elliott's just taking on carries and just eating them right now.
Charles Davis joins us for the NFL on Fox, coming up 1 p.m. Eastern kick on Fox. He's got the Cowboys in Indianapolis to take on the Colts from Lucas Oil Stadium on Sunday. Charles, it's always awesome to catch up, my man. You be well. We'll do it again soon.
Look forward to it, DA. And again, happy holidays to you and to everyone out there. Take care and be safe.
Back at you, bud. Charles Davis joining us this morning on the show. I thought his read on Aaron Rodgers was so insightful and so good. Rodgers needs to be challenged, and he didn't feel like he was being challenged by Mike McCarthy to keep getting better. And I think they took their sides of the ring. They took their corners and stop seeing eye to eye and coming together with one another. And I think that just started building resentment, and eventually they just could not meet in the middle and work together anymore. When we come back, more NFL with Good Morning Football host Kay Adams from NFL Network. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A no-sweat-pants at work zone.
Cooking is the right word, because you and Mraz, Dean, Madden, and Gruden in their prime.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't know if that's a good thing. Is that a compliment? Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. I suppose John Gruden in his prime. We'll take that. 21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can hit us up with a Ask the Pros question of the day. Send it to me at DA on CBS. We'll get to those coming up here later on in the show. Thanks to Charles Davis for joining us here on the program. Good stuff from Charles. Time to talk a little bit more NFL, which is always fun. Joining us here on the show is one of the hosts of Good Morning Football, one of our favorite morning sports shows here on the program. She's also really a fantasy football guru and handling hosting Saturday night's Canelo Alvarez fight on DAZN, which is for free if you sign up for the service, which many people are calling the Netflix of sports. You don't have to pay $100 for this fight. You can just catch it on DAZN. Kay Adams joining us this morning on the show. Kay, good morning.
Hello, DA. Thanks for having me. What a nice introduction.
My pleasure. How you doing this morning?
I'm wonderful. So excited about Thursday Night Football. I think maybe the biggest game really of the year as far as the playoff picture is concerned, and the AFC. And then so you got Chargers and Chiefs tomorrow at Arrowhead, and Canelo Alvarez fighting at the Mecca of boxing, the Garden, New York City, for the first time ever.
Yeah, it's a really cool week, and you'll be all over that coverage. And Chiefs and Chargers is interesting because I think so many people are just waiting for the bottom to drop out of the Chiefs, that it can't be this good. I know I've got friends in Kansas City that say something's going to go wrong. Do you think the Chiefs are living a charmed life, or ultimately they going to be tricked and then end up losing like they usually do?
Well, the only reason Chiefs fans think that is because they've had such bad luck in the playoffs under Andy Reid. This feels like an entirely different team. The only concern I would have is their defense. Their pass defense hasn't gotten much better. They have a nice pass rush that should probably give Philip Rivers some fits, even though their offensive line has been so stout all season long, allowing the fifth fewest sacks the Chargers offensive line has. But I think the defense is questionable. I was down on the Chiefs going into this season. I think the Chargers are a more complete, balanced team, even without Melvin Gordon. Their offensive line is just that good that their backups, I think, will be okay for this game. But Patrick Mahomes, I mean, DA, I did not see it coming. I knew that he can throw the ball a ton. I knew he was special, but I thought it was going to be one of those maybe close to 5,000 yards, but also let's build in 22 interceptions in that, and he just hasn't been that. So they are rolling. They're dealing with injuries too, though. Obviously, they have Tyreek Hill banged up a little bit, and they have the Spencer Ware situation.
You are also a fantasy guru, and people come to you all the time for fantasy advice, and you're all over fantasy coverage as well. Do you ever go, hey, guys, not today. I can't tell you what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. I can't tell you what Philip Rivers is going to do. Can you please leave me alone?
I literally was just thinking in my head, please don't ask me about your fantasy team in week 15. I do not want to be, I don't know it. I don't know you well enough.
I refuse to talk fantasy. I refuse to talk fantasy because everybody has their own questions and it will just totally submarine an entire show.
Well, people want you to be accountable for them. Nobody wants to be the person that sits Tom Brady. And so they'd love to, hey, Kay, you tell me to sit Tom Brady. Okay, sit Tom Brady. And then they hate me the rest of the week.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine. You must get like grocery store clerks and people that park your car. They're like, hey, so I got a flex position open. What do you think I should do here?
And I mean, I also love it. So if you're passionate about anything, it makes it that much easier. So the fact that people embrace fantasy football so much and how it's grown in the past 5 years even, which is about when I dipped into that industry, it's so incredible. It's billions of people.
It's amazing. It really is. Kay Adams joins us from Good Morning Football, NFL Network, and DAZN's coverage coming up on Saturday of the Canelo Alvarez fight. You know, we had your colleague Kyle Brandt on the show last week, and he was always a lot of fun. And I said, who's the toughest on set to make laugh? And he said, well, I can get Schrager to laugh basically to anything. And he goes, Nate's kind of easy as well. He goes, but Kay can be tough sometimes. I've got to know the right Bill Murray reference. So is that the sweet spot? We just got to go Bill Murray reference on you, then you're good?
No. What Kyle doesn't understand is in that room, somebody has to be the adult. So, and I don't have kids, but I imagine with that, when you have kids that make funny jokes and you have to have a serious face, I've just gotten really good at maintaining a serious face to have some semblance of professionalism and control on that set. I unfortunately am tasked with that job.
That's a good one. So you're like the teacher, like, hey, guys, we got to get some lesson work done here. We can't just have all jokes all day.
It goes off the rail all the time. So I'm sort of trying to bring it back to football.
It's great because when Nate joins us on the show, I feel like Nate ups our cool quotient, but that's only over the phone or in the studio. You've actually got to do stuff like dancing with him, and you've got to actually do other stuff, which he's just so cool at. Do you ever feel like, boy, I'm failing in this department here next to Nate?
Yeah, 100%. He is the coolest person probably I've ever met. Constantly just on trend. Also could not be easier to work with. He's a blessing in my life every day sitting next to Nate Burleson. That's
yep.
for sure.
Yep. No, I could totally understand that. Kay Adams joins us. Good Morning Football, NFL Network. Have you had a favorite end zone celebration this year? Any of them?
I mean, they have not brought it at all. None of these teams. It's like they forgot that they could celebrate. I think last year maybe it wore off the instant just being excited about it. I'll have to give it to, listen, as a team, the Seahawks. The Seahawks are bringing it every week, at least something. But my Chicago Bears and that Prince Mukamara temptation celebration.
That was cool.
Has to be my favorite. They did one this week where they like threw a bouquet like at a wedding. I wasn't as into that one.
Are you all in on the Bears? Are you feeling confident and excited? Or is there a pit in your stomach saying, oh, my God, how is this going to end poorly?
Yeah, on Good Morning Football, I liken it to being in a relationship where I can't, you know, like he's asking me to move in, and maybe I'm staying there, but I'm still keeping the lease to my old place because I'm a little bit scared. So I'm slowly like, oh, I'll meet your parents, fine. And last week when they took down the Rams and held them to 6 points, we went out and got tattoos of each other's names, and I'm really in the moment. But I'm not an idiot. I know what's coming. I know it's Aaron Rodgers. I know their team might not be the team of old, and he might not look like he's looked in years past, but he's healthy. He has the Bears' number, and if they lost this game, I would not be shocked. I'd be heartbroken, but I would not be shocked.
That's a great metaphor. Kay Adams joins us this morning on the show. So everybody gets to see you regularly on Good Morning Football NFL Network. You'll also be handling the hosting duties Saturday night for the Canelo fight, which is awesome because Canelo is just such he's a magnetic figure. He's got, you know, so many fans that are all over the place, and people can get the fight not by paying $100, but by signing up for DAZN. And people are kind of saying this is kind of the Netflix of sports. So by working with them and being around this fight, do you feel like, wow, this is kind of the future of where maybe sports broadcasting is going?
It absolutely is, and that's so great because Netflix is a perfect way to describe it. People are saying, well, how do I get this? How do I see the fight? You're getting the number one pay-per-view star in boxing. That is Canelo Alvarez, and you're getting him for free if you're a new subscriber. Imagine what Netflix is. You pay a fee every month. It's a low fee, and you get to watch whatever you want. It's made for the fan. You can watch things on demand, appointed viewing. You can watch it, other content, behind-the-scenes content that we have so much of. It's an I can't even explain how awesome it is, so you just have to go check it out. It's DAZN, and it's not just, oh, I have a huge fight. Canelo's going to fight twice a year with this big, huge deal he signed with DAZN. You're getting 100 fights a year. The first fight I ever worked with DAZN was in London for Anthony Joshua up against Povetkin. That's the kind of fight that you're getting for free if you're a new subscriber this month.
And I love that because I think for a long time, the pricing of prize fights pushed a lot of people away. People said, I know when I was growing up, I was like, Dad, can we get the Tyson fight? He goes, we don't have $60. We don't have $75. You can't get that fight. And so I think this has the ability to bring more people into the fray and enjoy the sport, don't you think?
Yes, and it's star-studded. Like I said, the biggest draw in boxing is now part of DAZN exclusively over the next 5 years, a $360-plus million contract. There's Bellator, there are all sorts of things, and it's constantly growing. And our team's great, too. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard, by the way, who fought at MSG, one of the many legends to fight there, will be there alongside, ringside. Guys like Brian Kenny, Sergio Mora, up-and-coming voices, Chris Mannix. So it's a great team doing boxing, you know, keeping the legacy of it going, but also doing it from a new perspective.
Yeah, that's really cool. What a great team, as you mentioned. We've had a bunch of those people here on the show, and they're all wonderful to us. I don't know where they've got you set up at the Garden, but just watch out for spilled beer and people throwing things. I mean, you never know with the people at the Garden. You never know where you're set up and who's going to be sitting around you.
I think I get to be in the ring for some of it.
Okay, so maybe avoid the blood there. No blood there, and then the beer other places.
I'm not kidding. My first fight, I got into the ring after like 10 fights. It was a 10-card situation, and there was blood and all sorts of just things, unmentionable things on, and I said, I have to burn my shoes. Like, I can't wash these and take these home with me. These are staying in London.
Unidentified fluids all over the place. You're just
yes.
like, I cannot wear these shoes anymore.
Wow. I didn't know this is where this conversation was going to go.
Check it out. Saturday night, Canelo fight for free if you sign up for DAZN. This is Kay Adams hosting the coverage with another team, as we mentioned, team of wonderful, talented people. Kay, it's great to finally have you on the show. Thanks so much. We'll be watching mornings here on Good Morning Football as we're watching you right now in the studio. And you guys are then also, of course, Saturday night with The Zone. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Next time, let's do this in person.
Okay, sounds good. Kay Adams joining us this morning here on the show. When we come back here on the program, we got a little 12DA re-rack. It was sitting down for career day with Andrew Bogish. Mraz just relentless. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Yeah, I don't think it's a raptor. I think it's the falafel raptor.
A falafel?
The one that, like...
Yeah, that you can buy on the street in New York City, the falafel raptor?
Falafel raptor, what's it called?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
39 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got a new brand new PGP coming out after the show today. A long deep dive into the company holiday party. Then Mraz showed up to shirtless. One or two shots of tequila into the night. Bad idea. And then also a deep dive into the halfway point of the 12 DAs of Christmas, which we'll get to coming up here in just a few moments. It's time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Derek tweets, DA, what will Doofus Davis do if the Raiders lose this lawsuit and can't play in Oakland next season? The 49ers won't let them play in their stadium, and Vegas' stadium is still not ready. If you miss this, the city of Oakland has a lawsuit, is suing the Oakland Raiders for this move. And pointing out that the NFL has a shady business practice of moving the franchises is right. It is completely spot on, but I don't see how you're going to win this lawsuit. Franchises have moved before and will move again, and I find it to be completely disrespectful. I think it's offensive. I think when franchises leave their cities, it's obnoxious, but the NFL doesn't care. And you think about something like, it's just so American. It is so U.S.-based where we just say, well, where's the money? Let's go to the money. The English Premier League doesn't move. Like Manchester United doesn't suddenly go, oh, not enough money here, let's go to Liverpool. Nobody moves out of Liverpool like, oh, you know what, not enough money, let's go to London. Suddenly we're London FC, okay. Here we go, everybody. Better stadium. That doesn't happen. They are institutions. They are entrusted in their community to be part of the community. And in the States, we just don't look at it that way. It is little businesses, well, big businesses, operating within this larger umbrella, and wherever they can get a bigger piece of the pie, we accept. It sucks, but we just accept it. That does not happen other places. They are community institutions. And so this sucks. It's terrible. It's stupid. It's American. It's dumb. It's just so NFL, and we've seen it in the other sports as well. But I don't see how you're going to win this. Even if the Raiders are for some reason not allowed to play at the Coliseum, I think the next thing they do, if they can't play in Santa Clara, I think the next thing they do is they go to Vegas and they play where UNLV plays. That stadium's not done, but they could still go to Vegas and play where UNLV plays. I don't think it's going to get to that. I think it will end up being this problematic, frustrating, sad swan song in Oakland before they get to a gleaming palace in Vegas. But if push comes to shove, look, they retrofit a couple of luxury suite levels and a new set of bleachers, and they play there. I mean, look, the NFL has played in some garbage stadiums before. They played in college stadiums before. They played without luxury suites before. And they'll do it again because it's all about the money to them, and that is an ends justifying the means. The 12 DAs of Christmas are not only here to warm the cockles of your heart, but also to provide career advice.
Yeah. It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Tired of it. Stayed up till midnight, get 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're actually crying.
These two guys. Let's break some more chairs, guys.
That's unfair.
You know what's unfair? Going after a 98-year-old woman of the church! Of the church!
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said,
oh,
too.
Oh, I definitely would.
I am a big boy.
Mraz, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's a hair!
What a ball of joy you are. That's amazing!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with cheers!
On August the 8th, we had number 7. Bogus's career called into question by Mraz on the PGP. And the fallout spills over onto the show.
Number 7.
You riddled his career with bullet
holes.
Well,
yes, because he should be a lot further along based on the talent he has now than he is.
You said to give up play-by-play.
Well, because if it's going to start affecting things like missing weddings and big functions, and when he's closing in on 40, well, I got news for you. It ain't happening, kiddo. You move on, you do something else with your life. Bogus, I have asked you, how many times have you done a big game for whatever outlet you're working for? I go, Bogus, we would love to play some of this in soundcheck. And I say, can you produce the tapes? Well, you need a subscription here to get... You don't even know how to get your own tapes to us to play highlights. So how are you even getting them out to the right people?
Because I can
your career
guess,
sucks.
Because I can get them out not the next morning when you need them.
Well, that's a big issue. You're going about your career all wrong here, kiddo.
Okay, thanks, Sean.
It's just time to either redick this thing or give it up. I said it to your face.
Thank you.
And how much you get paid for those Fordham games? Monopoly money?
No, it's real money.
Yeah. Enough to get, you know, a drive-thru on the way home.
And the tolls.
You don't feel any remorse, though, for trashing Bogus's aspirations.
You know what? No. Because maybe it's time that this beautiful father of two, nice married man, always the friendly guy, had a little reality check and somebody threw... How many times is this guy going to be pampered? By all his loved ones, by everybody who works here, you're so great. You're on a great path. And next thing you know, you're dead in a casket and you've accomplished nothing. Come on,
Bogus. Wait, so now I'm dying?
Either hire an agent or you're going to be 70 looking back going, I never became Jack Buck. Well,
dude,
pick one.
I'm well aware of what's staring me in the face right now. I don't need you telling me that.
Well,
because
somebody...
Because you're doing Saturday nights here because the huge show's on vacation.
I make it the huger show. If not me, whom? Who, Bogus?
Me. I don't need you.
Well, clearly nobody's
listen,
doing it because you're going to miss the Ace wedding.
I'm perfectly capable of ruining my own mind in the things that are not getting done. You should come visit me. I get in the personal hell sometimes when I listen to these idiots doing games who I think I'm better than, but they're working all over the place.
I mean, Bogus,
I don't need your help in this area.
Bogus, I got Jason Kutcher week 15 doing Bengals-Vikings, and you're sitting there, you know, Fordham playing Richmond on a Wednesday night in front of six people. Something's not right. You're not going about your career the right way.
Listen,
and the end result is what you're going to try to do. You're going to miss the A's wedding? Come
on. With all of your talents and all of your energy and all of your intelligence, get a law degree and be my agent on top of everything else.
You know I don't have the ethics to put in school there. I am what I am. But at least I'm an honest observer.
Number 7, the 12 DAs of Christmas. It was career day. Man, Mraz was ruthless. Absolutely ruthless. There are so many moments of that are uncomfortable. Number 1, Mraz telling Bogus, who's like 5 years older than him, that he's a kiddo. Calling him kiddo not once but twice. There's nothing more disrespectful than somebody younger calling somebody older kiddo. It's belittling. It's disrespectful. It's awful. Number 2, Mraz saying you can't even produce the tapes. As though it's some type of White House investigation. Produce the tapes. Is this Watergate? Produce the tapes. Bogus of his play-by-play. Number 3, quote, your career sucks. He's working on the same show we are. Okay, so we're all at the same line here, Mraz. Sorry to break it to you. You ain't no higher than he is.
Currently, I was talking about trajectory. His trajectory is way off. He's overshooting.
Your career sucks, quote unquote. Number 4, Mraz thinking it's okay because I said it to your face. I could be awful and mean and disrespectful and belittling, but hey, I said it to your face.
Well, the backstory there was, of course, on the podcast, I didn't say it to his face. So you said I had to say it to his face.
That's right, because you trashed his career because we were discussing how he could miss my wedding for a Delaware Blue Hens college football game.
By the way, he did end up attending the wedding.
He did, because there wasn't a Delaware game that weekend. And then number five, saying that when Bogus calls Fordham basketball games, A, it's in front of six people, not fair. B, he makes Monopoly money, as though they don't even really pay him real money, which, again, is so disrespectful.
Look, I'm not going to question another man's pockets. All I'll tell you is this. He ain't exactly calling those games. With the Rose Hill Gym isn't exactly the mecca of basketball. And, I mean, how much? I mean, it's basically a web stream. What are they making? I've yet to see a dime from Watch DA. What is he making at Fordham? Fair?
I don't know where those games are broadcast, but that's a Division I college basketball team. I would imagine that the money's fine.
All right, yeah, fine. Maybe they play VCU. They throw them a couple extra bucks.
Just so mean. It's just so mean. And then Bogus admitting that he was in his own personal hell, that he ruins himself thinking about this, and then you just pile on.
That made me feel bad because it made me realize he didn't need me to tell him that. He already was aware.
You think?
But I was under the impression that somebody needed to tell him that. So that's where everything got lost.
You're doing this great community service. Our toll-free line is always brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. We learned yesterday that the new Rays stadium renditions are now dead in the water. That did not get picked up. No funding, no financing. So it looks like they are going to stay in the trop until 2027 at earliest they could leave, which led us down a road of trashing Tropicana Field.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I've been to the trop. I've seen the trop. I've watched Rays games at the trop. It's a disgrace. It is watching a baseball game in a BJ's wholesale club.
Oh, without a doubt.
It is dark. It is dim. It is gray. It is cement.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just all the things you don't think about in baseball. It's a Costco. And now they get it for another 9 years.
What?
What?
For Rays fans, I wouldn't show up either. It's depressing. Whereas you've been to a game at Tropicana Field, right?
Yes. It's...
Is it
The way you just described it is calling it a BJ's. I had never thought of it that way. You're right.
I have what I think is a really good call.
It's kind of like a Home Depot, too. It's just cavernous, things hanging from the ceiling.
Strike three is called. I think the scoreboard was wrong. And I followed it, which is my mistake.
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
Nothing to do.
I could say, honestly, it is the worst sporting experience of my life. I don't even care who wins, but going there's nothing fun about it.
And when you think about it, and I know a lot of people kill, like, clubs at stadiums and club seating. Their version of a club down the left field line basically looks like a mall food court. And it's just next to a bullpen.
Well, they were looking at the board like I was.
Well, that's their mistake.
And it's got the old-looking turf. It's a disaster. It's a disaster.
They got the fish tank with the stingrays in there.
There is nothing. And I can tell you, as an AL East fan of the Yankees, there is nothing to make you tune out on a Friday night in July more than the Yankees in Tampa.
I am the adult contemporary Hugh Freeze. Stop.
And it actually gives you a headache on TV watching a game there. Like, I'm just staring. It just looks awful.
It's amazing. When they splashed a can of paint, the yellow paint, on that air duct in left field, I'm like, wow, it really brightened things up around here. The air duct was yellow. I'm like, ooh, this looks good.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I want to read a tweet that James, longtime DA Lian, sent me yesterday. You know, DA, I view your show like the famous Jimmy V acceptance speech of 93. It correlates to your show when Mr. Valvano lists the three things he believes you should do every day. Laugh, think, have your emotions brought to tears. I would say that your show has me doing all three of those, or at least close to it, every single day. Thank you. That is very thoughtful, James. I appreciate that very much, as I always like to say. I hope that we make you think. and make you laugh every single day. That is our job around here. And I think tomorrow will be more of that. It has been brought to my attention that we will have breaking good news with Joseph M. Waller coming up tomorrow. Apparently a huge life moment for Joey Waller. Very good news, and he'll join us on the show to break the good news to us.
Tomorrow is a huge show, DA. We have number 6 in the 12 DAs, which you are not going to want to miss. Joey Waller is going to break good news, and it's our Katie Linendahl Christmas Spectacular.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
So think about that. That's a jam-packed 3 hours.
Now, as a Thursday show, is that also a huge Freeze appearance?
That's right. That's the icing on the cake. First hour, you're going to get a Joey Waller. The second hour, a Katie Linendahl. The third hour, a Battle of the Bulge and a 12 DA. Come on.
Wow.
Huge, whatever his name is.
That is a historic show. The Katie Linendahl Christmas Spectacular is also a breaking good news with Joey Waller, which is also the last gasps of the huge Freeze era.
No boy ain't got no secret for yo wo wo.
All of that rolled into 1 3-hour experiment. What sports? I don't know, but that's what we'll have tomorrow on the show.
The bosses are definitely not listening. Who knows how long this goes on, guys, so just make sure you keep listening to these shows as long as possible, because I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to get away with this. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Dan Silverman at WatchDA.com for the simulcast, and dessert coordinator Brad Heller, yo, 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 on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
No boy ain't got no secret for yo, wo, wo.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.